Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Falcons and Commanders coming up on Sunday. Hopefully better results for the Falcons at home than what's happening up in Philadelphia tonight. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. He is the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covering the Atlanta Falcons. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, my friend, always appreciate a few minutes on the show. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me on the show this evening.
So, you know, I was just talking about this in the last segment, D. Led. This is a team that gives up 32 points a game in the Commanders. They give up 32 points a game. They've put up had a lot of teams that have scored big numbers the last 3 weeks against them. They've given up 29 sacks. Their quarterback's been sacked 29 times this year. D-Led, if there was ever a week where you felt like, okay, can we get some sacks and can our offense really break out? I don't know. Nothing's ever easy, but this could possibly be the week that both of those things happen for the Falcons.
Yeah, it could be, John, if they could manage to block the Washington front. That's the only problem that gives me a little bit of pause. Can you block De'Ron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat from Stevenson High, and Chase Young? So, you know, Chase Young hasn't been who everybody thought he was going to be, but, you know, the Falcons haven't really, protected in some games. But, yeah, if you could block those guys, you should be able to move the ball. And defensively, you should be able to get after Sam Howell, who likes to hold on to the ball. And that's part of the reason why he's got 29 sacks over there.
A couple of things I want to go over with you, D-Led, that I've looked at here over the last couple of weeks. So, right now, the Falcons are 28th in the NFL in average starting field position. How much of that is special teams? I mean, I don't believe it's all special teams with the loss of Avery Williams and punt coverage and obviously Cordarrelle Patterson just getting back into returning kicks. But that's a number that has been, you know, a real problem for the Falcons this year, asking a young quarterback to have to average over 75 yards for touchdown drives.
Yeah, and I've been following that, and I think it directly falls from the fact that they've had so many three and outs and had to punt it. Bradley's been punting it out there, but, you know, you lose a lot of field position that way. So, you know, they're starting at their 40, they get to the 30 or 40, and then they pin you back. Also, a couple times it's been because of penalties. They'll get a good return and then had a holding penalty on Tay Davis last week. So special teams penalties, offense's inability to sustain drive are reasons why they have the poor drive start.
So obviously last weekend, I mean, you know, it's arguably Desmond Ridder's best game as a pro in the 9-game sample size that we have of Desmond Ridder. But, you know, how important is it? I mean, look, not just for the team's success, but obviously his, you know, for his personal success. Like, you have to build on a game like this, right? I mean, you can't kind of regress back to the norm. I mean, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback at some point, these feel like these moments where you have to build off of this momentum and sustain it, not just go back to what, you know, he was looking like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's one of my that's the story I'm working on here is, hey, how do y'all keep this going? What elements do y'all retain from this game to be able to do it again? You know, once you see it one time, you want to say, well, okay, well, they threw for 300. You know, some things went their way. They loaded the box and stopped the run. So, yeah, you got a lot of one-on-ones out there, and he was able to hit them. So, can you do that again? Because people are going – when they play the Falcons, they're going to line up to stop the run. And so when they do that, you know, Ridder hadn't been able to make them pay, at least not in Detroit, not in London. But against the Houston Texans, he did make them pay, even throwing the ball up the field to the fullback. So that was pretty creative. So, yeah, can you do it again? That's all it is now. Hey, we've seen it before. Was that an outlier or was that the real deal? We'll get to see here some of that on Sunday, and then certainly next week down in Tampa Bay, and then the next week in Nashville.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What have you thought about the play balance so far? 157 pass attempts for Desmond Ridder, 149 rushes. I know teams are loading up, obviously, the box, but is that number about where you thought? Or, again, you know, should this team even – again, I use the Bill Parcells line. He always – when he would look at the stat sheet, D-Led, he didn't care about what your rushing yards were, your yards per attempt. He wanted to see how many attempts – that you had. And it feels like that we're starting to skew more toward we're becoming more of a passing team than even a running team.
No, that's going to probably be a losing deal long term. So I thought he did a good job of staying with the run, even though he wasn't getting anything out of it. Some of them pitches could have went for a little bit. He did get in the I formation on third and one and power the ball at him. So, you know, that was a good thing. But, yeah, despite their low average, I thought, you know, Bijan had 14. I think Algier had double-digit carries, too. He's got to get Cordarrelle Patterson back in the mix. That's the missing link here. That's probably 5 or 7 more carries that you can count in the run game. But, yeah, I think you want to, you know, get as close to 50-50 as you can.
So – talk to me about Kyle Pitts' season. I mean, look, I there's been a lot of chatter about, you know, what this is, and they're not targeting him enough or this, that, and the other. He's got 32 targets, but only 18 catches. And I don't know, again, I can't tell you all of his, you know, numbers, but 46.9% catch percentage right now. How much of that is on Desmond Ridder? How much of that is on play calling? How much of that is on Kyle Pitts himself?
He's clearly got limitations, John. You can look at all it's out there. All of the routes that he's running right now are curling inside routes. So, you know, everybody kind of knows he's coming. They don't have him planting on that right leg and cutting to the left. So he's limited physically in what they can do with him. So, you know, everything's, you know, a bender inside a circle. He doesn't plant. He doesn't cut. You know, so there are some physical limitations. But, you know, ever since Matt Ryan left, he's had some horrible catch percentage numbers. And the fact that he never played with Desmond, that's on both of them. You know, they have to get connected on the routes he's going to run, even the limited ones he's going to run. So, yeah, that's a work in progress. You know, that's the reason why I think they should have been playing in the exhibition season and not sitting around watching. But now they're working out the kinks in their relationship during the regular season game.
So now the Falcons add Van Johnson to the mix. And does this allow Kyle Pitts to play a little bit more inside? I mean, they've used him outside at times. I mean, obviously, Jonnu Smith has been a really nice addition, you know, to this offense. But what can Van Johnson, or I guess Jefferson, do? What can he do, and how does that change maybe Kyle Pitts' role at all?
Yeah, I don't think it affects him at all. I think it affects Matt Collins a little bit, you know, and Scotty Miller. Those are their number 2 and 3, or arguably 4, 2 and 4 receivers. Scotty's brought here, supposed to be a speed guy. They haven't been able to get it to him. They gave it to him behind the line of scrimmage a couple times. But if Jefferson can get back to, you know, where he was running the 4-3-9s, he could take over that Alameda Zacchaeus role on those deep crossers and so forth. And Hollins is more just a blocking wide receiver, the best I could tell. I could throw him a couple possession routes. But, you know, Jefferson will be a guy when you want to go 11 personnel and put three wide receivers out there, you can do it. They haven't been doing too much 11, but now they have the option once they can get him up to speed.
Would you like to see them with Patterson back in the mix now? Patterson, Bijan, obviously Algier. Would you like to see them throw to the running backs a little bit more than even what they do?
No, I think they overdid that early on, and people started jumping them checkdowns. So maybe it's a little bit more up the field like what they did with Keith. But, yeah, no, people know that that's what we were hearing. They're like, hey, they just won the quick game, so we're going to sit on the flats on these running backs because we know he's going to check it down. The first three, four games where he wouldn't throw the ball down the field at all. So I don't think – I think people I don't think you can overdo that right now. I think that was overdone early. Maybe you can get back to it later. More screens, more diversification of the screens. I know the Packers I covered back in the 90s, they had 33 different screens. It was to Edgar Bennett, most of them. So that was before Brett Favre knew how to read defenses. So, yeah, you can definitely load them up on the screen game and get the ball moving that way, and then punch it down the field.
So let me ask you about the front seven with this team. You know, again, I see these stats, and, you know, D-Led, if you follow me at all on Twitter and ever read one of my tweets, I mean, I'm a big sack guy. Again, I'll give you all the numbers in the world about teams that are really good, you know, defensively or are advancing way into the playoffs can always sack the quarterback. That's the one thing that teams can do. It's been five sacks in five games. What do you think about the play? And I know that they're top 10 in pressures and all this, but you got to get home. And this is a week where you got to get home at some point. What do you think the play has been from the front seven so far with this team?
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I've been digging down into my advanced defensive stats this week to get I got 11 of the – I still got 21 more teams to go through to get all their knockdown and sacks together. But the Falcons are at 51, and over 50 is really good if you count the knockdowns and pressures. I started doing that when Coach Smith used to tell us, Coach Mike Smith, oh, sacks are overrated. We want to get them off the spot. So I'm like, okay, I'm not buying that, but that's how, if you insist, we'll look at the hurries and the knockdowns too. So that's good, and the good thing is Grady, Jared, and David Oyelamada are the beast. They've got like eight knockdowns and a sack and a, you know, some hurries. But up the middle is where they're getting the pressure. So the outside guys should be doing something. I'm kind of disappointed there, but Katie, haven't seen him show up at all. I've seen Bud Dupree flash. I don't know what they're doing with Lorenzo Carter, but there's nothing coming off the edge in the pass rush. They got a blitz. They blitzed 53 times, and I got to go back and double-check those numbers because they changed a little bit today. But and Caden Ellis has been sent 18 times, and he's only got one sack. So him and Richie Grant are coming on the blitzes. They're their blitzing guys. They were blitzing Troy Anderson a lot. He wasn't getting there. So if you're sending people, they got to get there. And, you know, the outside guys haven't been doing too much in the pass rush other than Bud. But that's where I'm at on the pressure packages. They're getting it from the guys up the middle. That's what they wanted. But now they need a little bit more coming off of the edge here. And if they got to send the linebacker, do it. However you got to get it done, you got to get some people on the ground.
Well, I'm glad to hear, D-Led, that you agree more with me than you do with Mike Smith, even though I love Mike Smith, but I'm glad to hear that you are more in my camp with all of this. Dear Orlando Ledbetter covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. He's on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC and join me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. D-Led, my friend, appreciate it, brother. We'll talk again here soon, and hopefully maybe this is a little bit easier week for the Falcons.
Yeah, we'll see. They're rested, and they got beat down 40-20, so they don't come in throwing some punches. So we'll see if the Falcons can stand up to them and put them away.
Thanks, D-Led. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you, John.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.